Job's Trials. Job is a hard book. And to be honest, this is one of those teachings that Yahweh sort of had me sit on the, set aside, going, you're going to teach it one day, just not yet. And the reality of it is you got to be really get really comfortable. I mean really, really comfortable. I should have a curtain where I can pull it and it'll go over all of your watches and the clocks. I think it's like 38 slides. That should already tell you it's going to be a while. And of course, when you get into it, it's like, oh, I want to tell them that. Oh, I want to tell them that. But I'll try and keep to the focus of what we're talking about for the best I can. But Job's trials. What is Yahweh teaching us? And I'm only going to cover the first two chapters. I'm not going to get into all the three friends' conversation. And I try and stay away from them for the reality that even at the end, those words are lies and truths that are put together as one. Because they're there to deceive, to pull Job off of the reality of where he is. And so the reality, you don't know what's truth or a lie in there. So I try and stay away from them. We may get to them at some point to learn how Hasatan is using it. But let's start off with a simple question. Who is Job? So if you're Job, we're looking at chapter 1. Verses 1 through 3. Now, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was righteous or blameless and upright. He was perfect, complete. One who feared God and shunned evil. And 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. Also, his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household, so that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. The greatest of all those from the East. So, what do we see? Well, he's perfect. The word perfect means complete. Think of it like that feeling of you ever have that feeling when you finish something and it's completely complete, you don't have to clean up anymore, you're done, wow, that's wonderful. Think of it also, you know that feeling when you're sitting and you're going, it's usually the time you go to the fridge because you feel like there's something missing. To be honest, it's not in your stomach, but you're missing something. And you look in the fridge and you just keep looking, going, there's something in here I'm looking for, but it's really not in there, right? It's that incomplete feeling. I mean, that's the reality of it. Perfect, complete is that idea. Upright, and for those that are builders, I think this will really help us. It means straight. And what I mean by that is you go to a store and you pull out the boards, and you'd be surprised how many of the boards are skewed. They're bent. And you go, no, don't want that one. No, don't want that. Oh, this one's good. It also means level. Using a level on a board to make sure it's exact. Because you want that house built perfectly. You don't want it, well, the floor slightly is off. All right? So that's upright. He feared Elohim and turned aside from evil or from whatever was bad. He turned, got set aside, got away from it. And at the end, he is blessed by Yahweh. I mean, it counts how many, how much he's blessed. Including that last phrase, which says that he is greatest of all the people of the East. He is definitely the head and not the tail. Now, turn with me to just down a little further from that, Job 1, verse 9. We're going to go 9 through 12. So Satan answered Yahweh and said, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now, stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." And Yahweh says to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person." So Satan went out from the presence of Yahweh. Now again, we're seeing into this picture, but I want you to see that the questions of Satan. And I want you to understand that these questions are not only spoken of Job, they're spoken of every single believer. So he's asking of you right now, and what Satan is asking of Elohim, of you, is, do you fear Yahweh for nothing? Yahweh's made a hedge around you, or him, and your family on all sides. Look at what he's done. Have you not blessed the work of his hands? Has not Yahweh blessed everything you've done? Take it all away and he will curse you to your face. Take away all the blessings and we'll see if he really, really cares. Because you say he loves you. Take it all away. Problems. So this is what occurs. The Sabians took the ox and the donkeys and killed the servants in the fields where they Now, by the way, this all happened on one day. Sometimes when it rains, it pours. The Chaldeans raided the camels and killed the servants by the sword. We sort of throw that in going, we just go, oh, they killed them by the sword. You know, why not by bow and arrow? The sword is specific here to the lesson that Yahweh's trying to teach us. So hold on to that. And a great ruah. A great ruach struck the eldest son's house and killed all the children. A great wind. Turn me to Job. Oh, actually, I have it up here. Job 1:20. It's incredible what Job says. He said, naked or with nothing, I came from my mother's womb. And naked or with nothing, I shall return there. Yahweh gave, and Yahweh has taken away. Blessed be the name of Yahweh. And all that Job did, he did not sin nor charge God with wrong. And here the idea is, he did not go up and go, you made this happen. You're the problem here. He didn't do that. He says, Yahweh, he gave it to me. He took it away. Blessed be his name. Amen. Pretty incredible. I don't know there was many of us that would say this. Turn me to Job chapter 2, verses 3 through 10. And Yahweh said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless an upright man, one who fears Elohim and shuns evil. And still he holds fast to his integrity, although you incited me against him to destroy him without cause. So Satan answered Yahweh and said, skin for skin. Yes, all that a man has he will give for his life. But stretch out your hand now and touch his bone and flesh, and he will surely curse you to your face. And Yahweh said to Satan, behold, he is in your hand, but spare his life. And Satan went out from his presence. Now, things happen. What's intriguing is that after the first trial or first situation, Yahweh still declares him to be perfect or complete. He still declares that he is upright, and he still fears Yahweh. And this fear is not only a fear of, but it's also of awe, of honoring, of going, he is worth my trust and my patience with him through this. Satan incited Yahweh against Job, and what's important here is without cause. Now notice that it's that somehow it gives the idea that Yahweh did this. Yahweh was against him, and it was without cause. It means nothing Job did would cause this to happen. Man will give... I wanted to put this in like neon lights. Because this is so true. Man will give anything for his life. How many times, oh, if you'll spare me, I'll do this. If you spare me, and you hear over and over this reality of if a person's life is threatened, how they will do, they will change everything. Everything to save their own life. He was struck with boils. Same word used in regard to the plague of Egypt. These boils were not comfortable. To that, Job's wife says, curse God and die. Here's encouragement. But he said, you speak as one of a foolish woman speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from Elohim? And shall we not accept adversity or evil or bad or unpleasantness? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Powerful. He says, if I'm going to have a relationship with Yahweh, should I not accept the good things with the bad? Now, what is Satan trying to show Yahweh? This is awfully scary. Your children only love you because you give them things. In the second case, your children only love you because you protect them. That's the only reason they love you. Because you do all this for them. That's why they love you. Take it away and watch their love fall away. Where does this misconception come from? Leviticus, Deuteronomy. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commands and perform them, then I will give you rain in its season. The land shall yield its produce, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. If you, then I. Cause, effect. You're going to obey the commands, then I'm going to bless you. Cause, effect. In verse 5 and 6, your threshing shall last to the time of vintage. This means that your crops would go way beyond the expectation until even the next crops. And the vintage shall last to the time of sowing. So one would last to the next. So there would never be a time where you would be lacking. And you shall eat your bread to the full. Same idea. And dwell in your land in peace or in safety or safely. I will give you shalom in the land, and you shall lie down, and none of you will make you afraid. Listen to this. And I will rid the land of evil beasts, and the sword will not go through your land. Now, wait a minute. Wasn't Job's servants killed by the sword that came through his land? Deuteronomy 7:15. And Yahweh will take away from you all sickness and will afflict you with none of the terrible diseases of Egypt which you have known, but will lay them on those who hate you. Now wait a minute. Job had boils. Boils were the plagues, or one of the plagues, of Egypt. Leviticus 26:14-15. But if you do not obey me and do not observe all these commands, if you despise my statutes, or if your soul abhors my judgments, so that you do not perform all my commandments, but break my covenant, this is what he's going to do. I also will do this to you. I will even appoint terror over you, wasting disease and fever, which shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of the heart. You shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. I will set my face against you and you shall be defeated by your enemies. The Sabians and Chaldeans were enemies of Job. Leviticus 26:21. Then if you walk contrary to me and are not willing to obey me, I will bring on you 7 times more plagues, which means he sort of sets the plagues in, you're going to get some now, and I'm going to do another layer later. And again, even in Job, we have 2 layers of judgment that come on. According to your sins, Leviticus 26:22. See if this sounds familiar. I will also send wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children. His children are killed, not by specifically beasts, but then he might say the Chaldeans are beasts. Or the wind, maybe. Destroy your livestock, that is done. Make you few in number, and your highways shall be desolate. And I will bring a sword against you that will execute the vengeance of the covenant. We know the sword did execute judgment here. Are we to keep the commands so we can be blessed? Is that the purpose for us to keep the commands? Is the goal of obedience getting rich with blessed things? Is that the goal? Are we going, you know what? I'm going to obey all these commands so I can get all this stuff. Is that the goal? What is the goal of keeping the commands? I'm sort of looking for an answer for this one. What is the goal? What is that? Prove your love to Elohim or God. Holiness. Separate, setting apart. Being different. Like a bride going, you know what? I'm going to set myself apart for a certain amount of time to prepare myself because I am my husband's only. Obedience. Someone said something about also love over here. If you love me, you'll obey me. Okay? So what is the goal? Why does Yahweh bless us if we obey? And then why take that back? You know, there's that old phrase, it's like an Indian giver. I'm going to give it to you, and I'm going to take it back. Why? Deuteronomy 7:9 sheds a little bit of light on this. Therefore know that Yahweh your God, first of all, he is introducing himself again. He is Elohim, and this is the idea that he is the one and only. The faithful Elohim who keeps covenant and mercy. Now, this brings up a good point. Do we ever obey the commands enough to really deserve all the blessings? No. And by the way, the blessings don't come in layers like the curses do. He says, I'm going to bless you when you go out and when you come in. When you're in a field and when you're at home. He just says all of these blessings. So you have to understand that even when he's giving you the blessings, he's giving them with mercy because we still don't deserve them. All right? And those blessings are not only meant for us, they're meant for us to use for others. Okay? So that's significant. And mercy for 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. Not to those who are blessed and keep his commandments. To 1,000 generations. This goes back to the phrase like he has cattle on 1,000 hills. This is the idea of all. Completeness. So to every single generation to the end. What is Yahweh trying to show us? And Hasatan. Because Job is not in there for just a casual, let's just put it in the scriptures. While Satan is trying to go, look, your children only love you because you do this. Yahweh goes, you know what, but you don't understand, Hasatan. By you doing this, you're actually going to be teaching them something for me. something they need to know. Because they're all going to go through problems. There are going to be times I'm going to take stuff away, not because they deserve me to take it away, but I'm going to take it anyway. What does a perfect person or complete or upright look like? I can take you back to the two phrases. When he says, Yahweh gave, Yahweh take away. Blessed be the name of Yahweh. Job defines, by Yahweh's own terms, what is perfect, complete, and upright level. Job is that example. In the midst of all of this, he is the example that Yahweh is sitting up going, you know what, from now on, anyone that reads the scripture will see Job and can learn this lesson. What is upright? What is level? And what is complete? What is right? Perfect. Examples. The rich young man. How do I have eternal life with Yahweh? Follow the commands. And basically he goes through the commands of loving our neighbor, right? All the ones in regard to people. But I want more. Isn't there more here? He goes, oh, you want to be perfect. Okay. To be perfect, to be complete, go and sell everything you have. Get rid of everything you have. Now, please don't get caught up in the world going, if I'm a believer, I have to go and sell my house and sell my car and sell everything so I can be a believer. It has nothing to do with that. It's the point of these treasures don't mean anything to me. They are just things. And if Yahweh took them, to him be the glory, someone else is going to need them somewhere else because he took them for that purpose for one reason or another. So there's a point in him, and of course it goes even later, how do you be saved? He says, with man, it is impossible to be perfect, but with God, all things are possible. Abram to Abraham. Long before he said, look up at the stars, he said, you know what? We're having a relationship, you and me, Abram. You willing to leave your father and this house and all these ways and come follow me? Because I got a better place for you. Did Abraham trust? Yes, he left. Then later he goes, oh, by the way, look at the stars. Or even before that, we get to Lot. He loves Lot. You realize, the whole situation with Lot is Lot looks up and sees this wonderful land. I want that. And Yahweh separates them. It isn't until after Abraham gives up Lot that Yahweh makes the promise, and now you're going to have a child. Because Lot would have been who would have gotten the inheritance before Lot separated. So you can see Abram going, I'm trusting that Lot gets the inheritance, and then Yahweh takes him away. To them, he says, look at the stars, so your children will be. And he believed them, and it was credited to him. Now, I talked about this about a year ago. The credit would be like credit today. You're giving credit now, but you're going to owe it later. That credit has to be completed, paid off. And what's the completion of that? Well, Paul and many of the others speak of it in regard, even James, in regard of giving his son. Where does God go? Bring me your son. Your one and only son. Sacrifice them to me. Doesn't that sound the same as Job losing all his children? Does that not sound like the rich young man, go and sell everything you have? Everything is lost. Jacob wrestling with Laban and Elohim. We may say he actually deserved Laban, and maybe he did. But he was trying to follow Yahweh. He made a even before going there. But he struggled with him. Now, as he left, he had all of these blessings. But he brings them out of there. I'm bringing you to a great land. Great, great, great. He has all these blessings, and then he finds out his brother wants his coming for him. So what does he do? He goes, you know what? I'll put all my possessions in front of me. Remember the second one? Man will give up everything to save his life. So Yahweh goes, you know what? All right, I'll come in from the background, and we're going to wrestle over this. And I'm going to show you that your life is meaningless in my hands without me, without being with me, without understanding there are possessions that are my treasures, and those children are my treasures. They are the future of you and the promise of Abraham. You don't go squandering my treasures. After the wrestling match, does he change? Absolutely. Who goes out in front after that? Him. Everything changes. Setting the people free. They're set free to go walk in the desert. And Patrick did a great point of this a few months ago. All their gold and silver were meaningless trying to carry that around in a desert. It was just dead weight. All those treasures. Oh, but he blessed me. He told me to go to my neighbor and get all that gold and all that silver and his fine cloth. He told me to do it because it was the blessings that Yahweh wanted to give them. But then he brought them out and said, well, they're blessings. But, you know, don't you realize that there are some that are okay blessings and then there are greater blessings that I give you? The greater blessings can't be taken from you. Right? Those greater blessings, we're going to have to get to this at some other point because the blessings point us out. Peace. People will pay thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars to find sleep. To find rest. To find security that someone's not coming after them. To find the security that, you know what, I've got money for the future. It's not going to just run out or fall apart. Through the walk, though I walk through the valley of the best place in the world, no. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Doesn't sound like a blessed place. The point being is, if Yahweh's walking with you, then we're blessed. Right? Yahweh is teaching us to be perfect. Complete in what? You see, there's a perfection or something he's perfecting in us. And I was really thinking about this. And I couldn't find a verse, so if anyone could find a verse, that'd be great. But I can't find a verse against the thought either. But our faith is, number one, based on love relationship with Yahweh. If we don't have a covenant in love with Yahweh, our faith is basically useless. We don't trust, right? But our trust is the container that holds our peace, our joy, and our hope. Because let's be honest, when our faith crumbles, guess what goes out with it? Our hope, our peace, and our joy. So it's almost like a think of it as a cup, that our faith is a cup that holds our peace, our joy. And when that faith crumbles, when it cracks, guess what seeps out of it? The peace and the joy and the hope that we had. Right? But if we hold to the trust on top of the love, then they stay. And while Job was not an example of, yay! Let's be honest, a lot of believers, the yay is merely a mask that they wear in front of non-believers. I even thought of the idea of Aaron, who loses Nadab and Abihu. Probably his greatest possessions. Lost. But don't come out of the tabernacle. They will mourn them. And you can imagine Aaron going, ah, my boys. My boys. So what is he perfecting? Now, before I get to this too, I wanted to bring up an example. And I talked to Amy before service because it was a good example because it sets it up from what we've just been through. Amy's husband, Chuck, which is I would describe as a righteous man. from the interactions I had with him, his seeking after Torah, learning after Torah. But there are many questions that went back. Why was a disease put upon his body? Why did he have to struggle? He was a righteous person. Shouldn't he get all the blessings? But we see in Job was a righteous person. But he got the diseases of Egypt. Why? To make him perfect. To make him complete. Now, was he perfecting? I'm going to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. He's perfecting the love in you. I'll get to it later, but I think now is more the better time for me to bring this up. When a man and woman make covenant, is it for better and good times? No, it's for better or worse. In health and in health? No, in sickness or in health. I'm going to stay bonded, covenant, together, not going to go astray or go away from it. That's covenant. What does Job say? Job speaks of the idea, Yahweh has given me all of these blessings. Shall I now put him away because now I get that it was bad or unpleasant? I was with him through health, but now I'm going to leave him through sickness? He is perfecting in us the love relationship. He is perfecting in us love. And as you read this, be honest with yourselves, because I'm honest with me, I don't fulfill most of this. But understand also as you read this, how useless all of these wonderful tifs, gifts and talents are. There you go, tifs, that's a new thing. That's talents and gifts put together. The point being is, watch that they all are useless. All the blessings Yahweh can give you are nothing if you do not have love. So let's read through these. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. Just something annoying. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so I can remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Now listen to this. This is the standard the Yahweh is molding you to. And you'll see Job in this. Love suffers long. It's kind. Love is not jealous or envious. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up, seeing itself to be something greater than it is. Does not behave rudely. In a covenant relationship, this is very difficult because sarcasm is very hard. It comes out a lot. In any relationship, does not seek its own. Oh, what are you going to do for me? It's not provoked. It thinks no evil. I'll tell you right there, that's one of the hardest ones. You're not talking about doing evil. You're about thinking evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity or someone getting hurt, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things. That means no matter what happens, you're going to hold on. Believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. That sound like Job? Sounds like to me. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. Just like his children, just like the ox, the donkeys. For we know in part, we prophesy in part. But listen to this. When that which is complete has come, that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. That now abide faith, hope, and love, the three great blessings that Yahweh gives us. These three, but the greatest of these is love. I, Yahweh, take you to have and to hold from the day that we came together forward for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish till death, till I take you home. We are not made perfect by Yahweh. We are made perfect by Yahweh over time. A little by a little by a little. And he's not done. Conclusions. Milk of the scripture, salvation, is the reality of blessings and curses. It's given to children. When I have a child and I want to teach him right from wrong, or a daughter, and I want to teach it right from wrong, I have to sit back and go, I'm going to encourage you by giving you these things if you do it right, and I'm going to punish you if you do it wrong. In my classroom, I tell my students, there are two faces of Mr. Falk. There is this one. We'll smile and have a great time. It's going to be such a great year. But I'm going to give you some simple rules to respect each other, respect me, and respect the things that are here. And when you cross that line, this is the Mr. Falk you will get. And I will not be angry at you, and I will not scream at you, but I will raise my voice. Because I am using the two tools to teach right from wrong. But there is a time when we are weaned of the milk. For a time we may have done the commands to be blessed. But that time should be long gone. We now do the commands because we love. Because we were first loved. That's the meat of Scripture. That's the hard part of Scripture. And it's not easy. The first time we eat of it, it's like, I'm not sure I really like this. But it's sustaining. The milk will last for a time. And those that are still living on the milk, when the trials come, they will go. Satan will be right. We keep the commandments to express love to our Father. To express to Him the love we have. And it doesn't matter if He takes the blessings away from us. It doesn't matter if the precious things are taken, because we know, number one, that they're in His hands. And in doing so, treasures are stored in heaven, right? No one can hurt them anymore. Yahweh blesses us and curses us to show us His perfect love for us. And that's really hard for us to understand. But again, please don't think about the things of the blessings. It's the peace, the joy, the hope, and the love, the endurance to get through a day, a week, a month, of problems. Losing someone that is so much a part of you, you can't live without them. I think about those who, as we get older in life, I feel like we go from morning to morning to morning. When we're young, you might have one person in the past in your life that you knew too. But as you get older, it's like everybody around you. This one's gone. That one's gone. This one's gone. There goes another precious one. There goes another precious one. But in it, realize they're Yahweh's, their treasures stored in heaven. They're in His hands, one way or another. They don't struggle here anymore. We need to love our neighbors with His love. To learn that love, He has to take things away. And to be real love, to be real love is when we love the person who is nearest to us at the moment they probably deserve it the least. In a human sense, Yahweh did not deserve at this point, for this moment, Job's love. But Job thought so. This is true love expressed. Isaiah 45:7 says this, "I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create calamity. I, Yahweh, do all these things." No one else. Even though Satan is going to ask, guess what? It's still Yahweh. And remember, there was what Satan wanted to show us. But there was something greater Yahweh was going to use it to teach us. And what a wonderful thing that is.